The following is paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service.
Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDK does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
These are the people, the movers and shakers, the businesses, the people you know in your community who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
You know, what a timely guest once again. He is the pro, he's the expert, been working overtime. He and his crew doing a great job getting rave reviews because of their courteous, fast, and getting people back to normal when it comes to that storm that really swept through this area. What an incredible time it has been over the last few weeks for Greater Pitt Tree Service. Carlos McClintock is here today. So here's what I'm going to throw out to you, the audience. So if you're dealing with cleanup, still need to get things done, you need to give us a call, 866-391-1020. But it is blooming, meaning spring is underway, and we're now heading towards Memorial Day weekend. The heat of the summer is almost here, and that means all the infectious diseases and things that can destroy those beautiful trees that mean so much to you because of what they do to the landscape, that is your home. So if you have any general tree-related questions, now's the time to call. Free advice, you simply dial this number, 866-391-1020, and you will be on the air with us immediately. And you can also get a hold of them at 412-884-TREE, 412-884-TREE, or 412-884-8733, 412-884-8733. And you can call during the show and leave your information. They will get back to you. So storm-related questions, and also as we head to Memorial Day weekend and the summer months ahead, any tree-related questions, now's the time to talk to the expert, Carlos McClintock, 866-391-1020. So, Carlos, I've been thinking a lot about you, and I know you guys have been working overtime, but here's the question that a lot of people may not be thinking about. Okay, so you see the tree that was knocked down, or sadly, maybe like laying up against your house or on top of your roof, but what about trees that look okay but could have been damaged by this storm? Isn't it a good idea, especially if you've invested a lot of money and time in these trees, if there's a possibility that maybe a tree could have been injured, splintered, or maybe damaged to the point that it'll start a slow death? You really need to get Troy there, to get your company there, and make sure that these trees are healthy to move forward, correct? And good morning.
Good morning. Yes, that's a great point. You know, we get calls 3, 4, 5 days later after that initial storm. I mean, that storm that came through a couple weeks ago was maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes long, but the effects of it are going to be over a long time now because, you know, a tree that fell might have hit a standing tree and split it, and it's still standing, but then, you know, gravity and physics take over. And you're not expecting it on a nice sunny day. When that, we actually get more calls on a nice sunny day that a limb or a tree fails, we call it, because of, you know, certain things like that. It might have been damaged, and it's just time for that big lead to break, or for the root ball might have been, you know, a little bit disturbed, and now it's kind of on borrowed time. So great idea to get us out there, take a look at your property after these last couple big storms and see if we could see anything that maybe you don't spot.
All right, let's talk about broken limbs. And is it normal? And when does it look like it's a problem? Also, why is examining the crown so important and evaluating wound sizes? And when you mean wound sizes and wounds, what are we talking about? That first, Carlos.
Yeah, great point, too. You know, when these branches shear off from the wind, it's not a clean cut. So you have kind of a big shard up there and it's exposed. So now it could be susceptible to carpenter ants, termites. It's a good idea for us to get out there and go up and make a clean cut on it. You know, that'll prevent some other things from spreading to the tree. Get us out there. We can assess it, look at it. It a lot depends on the species of the tree, too. You know, it's case by case. Some trees are resilient, like anything in the maple family. And then you got some oak trees that I always say you can look at an oak tree wrong and kill it. So if you've had some broken limbs on an oak tree, you know, it's a good idea for us to get out there, make the clean cuts. It'll prevent certain things, maybe like oak wilt disease from seeking out that tree with an open wound.
All right. I want to talk a little bit more about crown interactiveness. And at least 50% of the tree's crown, branches, and leaves still intact. If not, the tree's survivability will be reduced. So looking at the crown and explaining what the crown is, why that's so important.
Yeah, the crown's very important. I mean, that's usually the first thing we visually look at to assess a tree. Is that growth traveling through the root system, up through the trunk, and reaching that upper canopy to keep that healthy. You know, that's a, if you're out there looking at your trees and you see some dead up in the top canopy, upper canopy, you know, there's definitely something probably going on with that tree. It could be something as simple as the age of the tree. You know, there's shelf lives of yard trees that are planted. Maybe it's just, you know, getting to that point, or maybe something else is going on with it. So we get out there and do a little bit more investigating and get Troy out there with all the knowledge he has, and we can figure out what the best plan of attack is. Do we feed it? Do we treat it? Is it just old and outgrew its coverage area? Is it time to get it out of there? A lot of options.
So if you have a tree-related question, and especially if you're dealing with storm-related issues, now is the time to call. All of our lines are open. Carlos here for his every other week get-together with us on Sundays at KDK in the 9 o'clock hour. You'll get immediate access if you give us a call, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. You know, one of the things in all the weeks we've been doing this show that we've never talked about, and it's good to talk about it now because of the storm that we just went through, what about bark damage? Has the tree experienced significant bark loss, which can make it vulnerable for disease and pests? So is this kind of like the tree's skin? Explain the bark and its purpose. Go ahead.
Yeah, you hit it right there. I mean, that's what covers the inside of the tree. And, you know, that, and like you said, a lot of that can be susceptible to termites, carpenter ants. You know, you can go out and do that initial visual inspection, but a lot of times there's, you know, maybe something we might see. There's a lot of times something might be boring into your tree, and the holes are pretty small. They're hard to spot. So we get out there and we do like full investigation of what's going on with that tree, figure out if there's any issues with the bark, and the best plan of attack to address it.
Carlos McClintock, Greater Pitt Tree Service. Now, here's something very important when you are basically walking around the perimeter of your home. Tree posture. If a tree is leaning or toppled, that could be a serious issue and danger waiting to happen. Talk about a tree's posture and how do you approach it and what should you be looking for? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, you know, over the years, a tree will grow out on an angle because it might be competing with another dominating tree. And so it's reaching out, it's growing out on an angle for sunlight. So we do get calls, you know, people say, I'm a little bit alarmed, this tree's jutting out on this severe angle, and we kind of figure out what's in that area, what it was competing for while it was growing, and try to assess it as best we can. But if you're looking down on the ground and maybe the root ball's a little bulbous, you know, that's a sign that it's kind of, then it is leaning and pulling to one side or the other and lifting that root ball up. And then it's just a matter of time, the right gust of wind or just gravity and physics take over and the tree decides to fail and come down.
All right. For any other reason other than this, I would make the call to Greater Pitt Tree Service. He stands by the customer, helps them negotiate and navigate all of the things that they experience. So firsthand, a couple of friends have mentioned this to me, so I'm going to ask you because nobody punchbacks better because you understand the rules of the road. I hear a lot of people are having a difficult time getting coverage from their insurance company, so many of them are getting thousands less than they've anticipated. And look, I'm not pointing fingers at any insurance agency. I'm not saying anything other than I'm bringing this up because when I have a number of people come up to me when I'm not on the air and talk about it, then I know that there must be a whole lot more in the radio audience, and they know of people like you, and they know how you stand by your customers, and you're willing to step up and help them work with the insurance company. So what happens if somebody's like, hey, I've been paying premiums forever on this home ownership, and I see what has happened here because of the storm damage. Look at my roof, look at my backyard, look at the shed that got crushed near the garage. And you're telling me you're going to give me $20,000 or $30,000 less than my policy says that I'm able to get, or you're saying it's not worth the amount of money that I need to fix it because of the estimates that I'm getting. What do people do when they're coming up short as far as the go-between when it comes to insurance policies and what they need to actually get the job done? Carlos.
Yeah, let's block off about 4 more hours for that topic. But just real quick, yes, it's frustrating. You know, the knee-jerk reaction from the insurance company is, how can we pay as little as possible or nothing? That's their business model. So, you know, it's a frustrating process. There's a lot of negotiations back and forth. They send out, you know, independent adjusters that work for them. That's who they're getting paid by. So that adjuster's coming out to really pinpoint and just kind of black and white the situation when there's so much more going on the property. You know, there could have been some initial damage to coverage A, which is your main dwelling, which is basically the value of your home. Your policy for coverage A, if your house is worth $300,000, then they could fix up to $300,000 worth of damage from trees falling on it. If it's more than that, then they'd probably total your house, just like a car accident. But you get into a lot of situations where we get called out in the middle of the night or the next day, and, you know, they're calling us. They're not my customers yet, and they're trying to call their insurance company. No one's answering. They can't get a hold of anyone. They're sitting there with a tree on their house for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. So it's a lot of frustration. There was a lot of tension between the insurance companies and the power being out. I was talking with Marty one day after the storm, and just a powder keg of frustration going on between everything, because you pay your bill every month, you know, and you're under the impression if something happens, I have full coverage. Well, you kind of don't. You have percentages. If it's not your main dwelling, coverage A, if it's anything detached, a nice garage or a shed or a pool or a fence, you only get 10% of the value of that home on that. So a massive oak tree falls on a fence, it could be $10,000, $15,000 for us to come and remove it. Well, they're only paying you a couple thousand dollars to fix the fence. Who pays for the rest? Why don't they cover that? Because that's coverage B. So a lot of people are finding out the hard way on where they stand in their insurance policy and what they're liable for.
All right, good stuff. Carlos McClintock is here. He is the man behind Greater Pitt Tree Service. If you have any questions, even some of these insurance issues that you're curious about, this is the guy that does this every day with his incredible crew. Call us. Storm-related cleanup, general questions for this time of year when it comes to those trees that are such a big part of beautifying your outdoor living space, and the aftermath of this storm that we continue to talk about weeks later. Love to hear from you. Easy access. It's 866-391-1020. We'll be back. Carlos McClintock, Greater Pitt Tree Service, in just a moment.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020. KDKA.
Listen, whenever I need this guy to come on to talk to the people, he's right there. Whenever you need him to be there, he's right there. His crew, incredible. They've been doing it second to none for years. You need to make the call if you're dealing with any of this stuff. 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8873. Before we take some calls here, Carlos, this insurance issue, people just need to understand, as you said, and you're being blunt, their business is to pay you as least amount of money as possible. But when you're going in, any idea or some ballpark thoughts on what people can do to make sure that they have more covered than not? How should somebody approach that? I mean, listen, we may have a first-time homeowner out there, a young couple getting ready to close on their very first house, and maybe they're listening to this show, coming home from church services or breakfast or whatever, and saying, I didn't realize that. I thought homeowners covered everything. Is there some general rules that people can follow to at least have a fighting chance?
Yes. I mean, like I said before, you should at least know the max of any coverage to fix anything associated with damage to your home. Tree falling, fire, you know, rain, anything like that is going to be the value of the home. So that's kind of where the starting point is. But when a tree falls and hits the house, you know, it becomes a whole, there's a lot involved in it. The insurance company has to pay us or any tree company to come out and extract that tree off of coverage A, let's call it. And then they only give you up to $500 per tree for the haul out. So a lot of times you're calling in and you're not real schooled on this, and you're telling the insurance person that you reach on the 800 number, hey, I got a tree on my house. And a lot of times it gets misunderstood. That person might say, well, you only have up to $500 to remove that tree. That's removing it off the property. The extraction cost of getting that tree off of the house, again, could be up to the value of the home. I mean, it's a little extreme case, but a lot of the removals we were doing those first few days were $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. I mean, we're coming out with massive cranes and plucking these trees out of houses. There's a lot involved in it. It's very dangerous. And then after we get the tree off the house, that's when the other part of the claim kind of takes place. How much is it now to repair the damages from this home or from the tree hitting my home? The insurance company, they have to do what's called indemnify you. They have to make you whole pre-loss. So your house has to look exactly like it did before a triggering event, which was the storm, causing the damage to coverage A, your main dwelling. Now, their job is to step up and indemnify you. Minus your deductible, they need to pay whatever it costs, unless it's over the value of the home, but they need to indemnify you and make you whole. Your house and your property have to look exactly like it did before this storm. So then after we get the tree off the house, then they come out and assess the damage. It's a good idea to then call one of the local disaster restoration companies. We deal with four or five of the main ones in Pittsburgh. They come out and they actually make it as much of a seamless process as possible with your insurance company. They bill your insurance company for the cost of the repairs, and they submit a bill. The insurance company types it into their software, which they created. It's theirs. It's called Xactimate. And that software program kind of spits out what that market value in the comps in that area should be to repair a whole roof or to fix a gutter or to fix a fence or, you know, whatever the damage in. It goes into a program called Xactimate, and they kind of come up with their price, their cost of it. Doesn't always translate to what a contractor's charging. So that's a lot of where the battle begins and starts and ends up in negotiations one way or another.
Well, this is why you need this guy, Greater Pitt Tree Service. Give us a call if you're dealing with any of this stuff. 866-391-1020. Here's John in Hampton Township for Carlos McClintock. Hey, John, how are you?
Good. How are you doing there?
Good. What's your question, sir?
Well, the question is during the storm that we had in, you know, Hampton Township, you know, trees falling to my property, and they belong to an HOA. So they fell on my property, and I understand that I am responsible for the trees, you know, which, you know, it's a huge pine trees, and they have, cage disease, and plus the roots were removed. So long story short, I know I have to pay for it and everything else, but the question I have is, insurance claim came out 7 days later, and she finally gave me her findings. And one of them I found very strange was I had a 15-foot canoe was laying on my trailer, which was all smashed. And she said she would not cover the canoe because it's not in a storage shed or anywhere else. I don't have no room to put the 15-foot, you know, canoe, aluminum canoe anywhere.
I know where you're getting with this, and this is what, you know, I was touching on before. In your homeowner's policy, you have coverage on coverage A, which is the main dwelling, and then coverage B is anything detached from coverage A, like a shed, a garage, a above ground pool, some of your hardscape. So as far as the trailer and the canoe, you don't have canoe insurance. They're not liable to fix that canoe or replace it because you weren't paying anything in your premium that had to do with a canoe. You were paying for your homeowner's insurance. So this is when people find out the hard way what's actually covered on your homeowner's policy.
Right. Now, should it be a disclaimer in the policy itself? I'm being told that, hey, ask the insurance company and say, hey, let me see where it says it in the policy. And she says, well, I'll send it to you, but, it, you know, she has not sent it to me at all. So,
the language in the policy is very specific, and they cover themselves. You know, that, again, I understand their business model, and they're going to fix what's insured that your premium is paying every month that they're insuring. So there's definitely language in that policy about instances like you're talking about, things on the property that aren't in, like she said, if it was in a shed or a garage, anything in that shed or garage that's damaged will be replaced or close to the cost of replacing it at a depreciated value. So yeah, that's an uphill battle. You got hit on both ends. You had to pay to get someone else's tree cut off your property, and then you're losing the cost that you paid to buy the canoe, and you're going to have to replace that and buy a new one. So you got hit from a couple different angles.
Well, that's not even, I can go explain many other things too, but then I'm being told that the adjuster is like the final say, so like a judge would. There's discrepancy what State Farm tells me, the agent, versus the adjuster. And I said, well, my state claim agent said, yes, it should be paid for. But when she comes out, she says no. So I'm fine that. This is from State Farm. I don't know if I'm not saying it or not, but they're on like two different pages. So it's like, and I'm getting, I'm trying to really argue, but upset a little bit with my agent. So what do you mean? You tell me something different. And she tells me this. It's blowing my mind away. It's like, wow.
All right, so what should he do? What should he do?
Well, until that adjuster came out, probably on your initial phone call when you described, you know, damages and what got, you know, smashed or whatever, not until that adjuster really came out and did that investigation. And he's correct. You know, they're not going to cover that. And that's just how it is. It's something that a lot of people are finding out the hard way. And, you know, if you understand your language and your policy and read it really well, you know, it kind of preps you to understand in a case like this what is and what isn't covered. And, you know, I feel for you. I appreciate the phone call. And if you need any tree work, give us a call.
Yeah, give them a call. But look, it's all these insurance agencies. Not that they're doing a bad job. They're doing a good job because in the most cases, they're making people whole. You just have to pay attention on what you sign up for, because nine times out of 10, when disaster strikes, that's what you're going to get. And Carlos McClintock is a guy that understands this stuff. So it's another reason why you're not getting this from a big box store, but you're getting from a homegrown kid who grew up in Greenfield, who's been on the job doing what he does for decades now. Again, you can reach them at 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. But if you have a tree-related question, we're talking insurance issues, we're talking trees after the storm, taking care of your trees as we're heading into the summer months, now's the time to call. We have lines available, 866-391-1020. We'll be back.
The following is paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020. KDKA.
All right, just like that, we're halfway home with Carlos McClintock, Greater Pitt Tree Service. So if you have any tree-related questions, especially because of the recent storms, give us a call, 866-391-1020. And I use the word storm as in storms, plural, because we had the microburst or whatever you want to call it a couple of weeks ago, but we've been having storm after storm after storm, bringing a lot of high winds. So a lot of things happening and people saying, how could these massive trees that have been around for 100 plus years just be ripped out of the ground? Carlos, one of the things that I was going to ask you before we got a call, and by the way, anybody who has any tree-related question, you can call us now at 866-391-1020, or you can call his office at 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. But soil heaving, to where you notice around the base of the tree that the soil is lifting up on one side. So I don't know if there's any connection to why we saw such big trees fall, maybe soil heaving one of the problems, but how was it that these trees were just literally that quickly up and out and on the ground that had been around for 100 plus years? What happened?
They come down. They just had all, you know, they have all their leaves on them. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of resistance, where if you can't see through a tree, then those leaves offer so much resistance from these high winds. And the winds that came in a couple weeks ago, they were no match for it. They just laid these big trees down. And a lot of these trees we saw in areas like Regent Square, all through Squirrel Hill, all these city of Pittsburgh trees or borough and township trees that are along the street, maybe in a patch of grass between the sidewalk and the street or right on the sidewalk, you know, they're only anchored down by one side of roots, because the side of the tree that's facing the street or sidewalk, the roots kind of butt up against that, and they can't continue to branch out to anchor these big trees down. So when this storm hit, they're calling it a straight line storm. So it came from west to east, and a lot of these trees that fell down had that no root system on the side of the tree that the wind was pushing. So, you know, it was easy pickings, you know, for this wind to blow down these massive trees. I mean, Regent Square looked like a war zone. It looked just like a bomb went off. I mean, one tree after another, through houses, across the street. And they were all these large sycamores and oak trees that don't have that root system around the whole perimeter of the tree, which you need on these big trees. And then, you know, you're living there and you're looking at the tree and you're thinking like, hey, maybe I should get this, you know, out of here, get it cut down. And you have to go petition the city or the borough or township, and they come out and they're like, well, it's a healthy tree. Yeah, it is healthy. It has a nice canopy and nice leaves and gives them that street tree-lined street effect through these areas. But guess what? Now the other side of the coin kind of was exposed. When these big windstorms come through and there's only a root system on one side, now you got a tree coming through your house. So, you know, and your house is your main investment. That's the average American. That's their biggest investment they're going to make in their life is purchasing a home, not to mention the safety of, you know, you and your family in the home. And they're saying, well, you can't cut this tree down and because it looks good. Well, I mean, now hopefully they kind of switch up their, you know, how they feel about trees like that.
Well, the other thing, too, from what I hear, there's some pushback to where people can't even remove trees that are down on their own property because it's certain rules of the road as far as street line trees are concerned, as far as shading purposes and what have you. So people can actually be told what to do when it comes to their own property. Make some sense of that. Is that true?
Yes, we just had an instance like this in Beaver, you know, the nice residential district of Beaver. Off the business district, you know, big old 3-4-story houses with big yards, and they had these old trees in front of them. And this homeowner was just nervous about this big sycamore tree. It had a huge cavity in it. It was infested with bees. It's what we call a house crusher. And so, you know, we gave them a price, and they said, well, we got to put in the application with this shade tree commission to come out and see if we can remove our tree on our property. It wasn't in the sidewalk or along the street. It was in their yard. So the shade tree commission in Beaver denied them the right to cut this tree down that if it hits their house is irreplaceable. It's from the late 1800s or early 1900s. The craftsmanship and the materials don't exist to replace the damage this tree would cause to this home. So it's, you know, it's a little evasive. It's kind of like Nazi Germany almost all over again. Like, oh, you're telling me what I can and can't do on my property? I was really surprised at this case. You know, usually they usually... more times than not, they approve it. But this one, they're like, well, it's an old, beautiful tree, and it's been there a long time, and you're not allowed to remove it. So it's kind of crazy.
All right, listen, if you have any questions for Carlos, give us a call, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Now, here's the other thing. Customers ask you if you can do it cheaper because they're afraid that their new premiums are going to be out of sight or they could even get their policy canceled. Explain that to me.
Yeah, and that's kind of... I mean, and I reply to that, I'm supposed to save a $1 billion company a few thousand dollars and lower my cost? Why should I be the one that has to go in my pocket or reduce my cost because of how these insurance companies operate? And people are like, wow, $20,000, I know it's going to happen, my premium's going to go up, or they're going to cancel me. And I'm like, well, this is what it costs for me to come out with $1 million in equipment, 8 or 10 guys for the day to pull this tree out of your house. I'm not price gouging. I'm just telling you what the market value is and what it costs. And we're getting a lot of that from these customers because they're nervous. They know how the insurance companies operate. They might have had a claim before on the house. Now they have a second or third claim. And, you know, it's a scary for these people to own a house and then be concerned on what kind of coverage they can get or how much it's going to cost to get this coverage. So, and there's just a lot in that topic. It's something we're very schooled at. We send an article to our customers when they call in that was published in Tree Care Industry Association magazine, which we're a member of. And it's entitled Misconceptions of Tree Damage and the Insurance Coverages. So we send that article to these people and let them educate themselves and learn the terminology and learn where they stand, because the insurance companies, they're, you know, they throw things out there and sometimes you misunderstand it or don't, you know, fully know what's going on. And, you know, again, it's beneficial to them and not these homeowners, what they're telling these people.
All right, listen, if you have a tree-related question, we're going to get some calls here lined up and we're going to take them in the final segment. So give us a call if you have any question. One more segment with Carlos McClintock. You're going to have to wait for a couple of weeks if you don't get it in today. So get that question answered by calling us at 866-391-1020 or call them and set up an appointment. You can call and leave your information now, 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. You know, I've often thought because of the weather, I mean, look what happened in St. Louis and Wisconsin and Kentucky and Tennessee over the last couple of days. Over 20 people dead, massive storms, multiple tornadoes. The winds are swirling in such a strange way now, coast to coast. I've never seen the likes of it. I got to believe for people like who live in a flood-prone area, we've talked about this many times when talking about insurance and protecting your home and restoration. If these storms don't start to head in a different direction or subside, I think there's going to be certain policy aspects of insurance and home ownership and homeowners that are going to be written into the policy just for trees and damage from trees. Carlos, I've never seen anything like we've experienced in the last couple of years here.
Yeah, and here's what they're doing now. Like, I've been doing this a long time, and when somebody would buy a home and they go to get their homeowner's policy and they'd send someone out, or now they fly drones over the houses most times. But they come out and they say, oh, well, this tree's dead on your property. We want you to remove this dead tree before we write your homeowner's policy. And I understand that because pretty obvious that dead tree is going to fall and cause damage to what they're insuring. But now recently, you know, the insurance companies are big on data and information and figuring out, you know, how to mitigate their risk of paying out a big claim. So now a lot of people, when they're buying homes and going to get that homeowner's policy, they're telling people to cut down healthy trees, big, beautiful, healthy trees that are in proximity to the house if it were to fall, to cause damage, because the insurance company wants to mitigate their risk down to next to nothing. That's best case scenario for them. So, you know, you're looking at this house and you're purchasing it, and, you know, you got a big oak tree and you picture your kids climbing it, or the shade it gives you, you know, helps with your utility cost, and you go buy the home, and now the insurance company's saying, we're not writing you a policy till you cut that tree down, because they're just getting hammered all across the country with all these events that are happening, tornadoes, hurricanes, windstorms. So they're mitigating their risk right now.
All right, let me get a break in here. We'll take one. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to talk to Mike in Carnegie about fallen trees. Anybody else who has a question about trees, give us a call. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020 is the number to dial. Carlos McClintock, Greater Pitt Tree Service, is here today. Give us a call. It's 866-391-1020, or you can call his office at 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
All right, I got some calls lined up for Carlos McClintock. Again, you can reach them at the office. You can actually call today, leave your information, and we'll get back to you. Stephanie working overtime to make sure all of the moving parts keep moving in the right direction, doing great job for Carlos. The number is 412-884-TREE, 412-884-8733. Mike in Carnegie, how you doing, Mike?
Hi, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Anyway, I got a question for Carlos, and maybe you as the radio host can even do some investigation on this. When a tree falls down, like I was telling the gentleman that answered the phone, Franklin Avenue in Carnegie, there was like six trees come down up from the Carnegie School. So they cut the tree down right to the edge of the road to the white line because it had already been on the road. They put six horses out around it. And if you come up that road or come down that road at night and don't see it, you could run right into half of the trunk of the tree. But apparently, they're only allowed to cut the tree to the edge of the white line of the road. Is that a rule or regulation now? I remember years ago when they took a tree down, it was gone. You'd cut it up, chop it up, and it was out of there.
Yeah, that could be case
by case,
Mike. Yeah, I was just going to say, that could be case by case. I don't know where the tree fell from, but maybe it's on somebody's private property. And legally, they're only allowed to cut back from the property that they own, just like a homeowner. If your tree falls into your neighbor's yard, you know, he's going to cut it back everything in his yard and leave that portion that's in your yard. And that's kind of how it happens most times. Now, with this case, they might have had so many trees down, they just prioritized getting them off from blocking the roads. And, yeah, maybe they should have taken it back
that
a little further.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that over time, though, even other storms that I've been doing, because I used to drive a limousine, and I saw that when I was going up where the old Mayview State Hospital was. Trees fell down. And I actually almost hit one of them that was right on the edge of the road because I come around a bend. And the guy, when I was talking to them, there was a road crew guy, whatever, there. And he says, we're only allowed to cut it to the street line. We can't do any more with it. I said, well, somebody's got, you need that shoulder. You're going to run right into the thing. You know, so I've been noticing it quite a few times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to just know if there was rules changed from years ago or things have changed, you know, because I remember when trees fell down, they'd chop it down into like little segments and either push it back or grind it up altogether.
Yeah, maybe people are a little more lazier these days. I don't know, Mike. Back in the day, things, you know, got done a different way. So it's a minimalist approach for sure on a topic like that.
You know, you were talking about those Victorian homes in Beaver, and I know exactly where you're talking about because I don't live too far from there. And all we ever knew growing up was work. But imagine your job doing it back in the day without a powered chainsaw and just an axe or a saw. Imagine doing that with that type of no electricity, no gas, no battery power, no nothing. How tough would that be, Carlos?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that old, but when I did start, I was 19. I was going to Duquesne University, and I started working for a local tree company in my neighborhood, and I was, you know, doing it to stay in shape, and I just ended up loving it, and I started my own company the next year. But I remember when I was doing tree work, I think I got paid $6 an hour.
Wow.
I mean, now my guys make $20, $30, $40 an hour, and it's the same work. It's actually a little easier because we got so much equipment now, but yeah, it's a job that you got to really like and be passionate about. You know, if there's nothing easy about it, it's very labor intensive, whichever way you get, you know, you address it.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. Getting busy here in the final minutes of the program. Here's Patty in Penn Hills on the show that is featuring Carlos McClintock, Greater Pitt Tree Service. Go ahead, Patty. Good morning.
Oh, yes. Hi. I had two questions. One, I wondered if Mr. McClintock had any advice for when you have a big tree and these storms fall, but just in your yard, it doesn't damage your house or anything, so therefore you have, like, no insurance coverage at all, and you don't have the money to pay for that. And secondly, I wondered if you notice any trend in the insurance companies to offer special waivers that you could, not waivers, but like a rider to your policy that just for trees only.
Yes, good. Two good points. As far as the yard falling in the tree, you know, it's expensive, you know, and if you don't have that money to get it out of there, you know, it puts you in a bad position. Now, I've been known to do a few free jobs here and there, so you never know, you might catch me in a good mood and I come out and take care of it. But then the rider policy, I have heard that sometimes, you know, if you have big, beautiful trees on your property, I think you can get them insured like an asset because, you know, if you have 10 beautiful oak trees on your property, they're irreplaceable. You can get those insured and they could put a monetary value on those trees.
Right.
And you're going to pay a premium against that.
Right.
But if they come down in a storm like this, you will get compensation. That's something to look into with them. But I have heard cases of those where people buy these big properties or estates or even a regular home, I guess. You know, if you're, some people buy a home because of trees or have lived there and they just so attached to the trees that they want to insure them like a family member or a pet or a vehicle or a home. People are getting attached to these beautiful trees on the property. And, you know, if the insurance company, if you're paying them, they'll pretty much insure anything, I guess.
Anything. Do companies like yours, like if you have a tree down but there's not going to be an insurance payment, do you work with companies or offer like payment plans or financing through someone you work with or anything like that?
Yes, good question. Yeah, we'll help you out, you know, and get it done for you. There's no reason that you should live with a massive tree in your yard. It actually, in your policy, you know, if it's kind of threatening or blocking something, you can't live in peril. That's in your policy,
okay,
too. The
insurance
company has to, they have to make sure that, you know, this tree isn't causing any threat to you or anybody in your home. So it just depends on where it's at on the property. As far as financing, we have a couple different ways. We're a preferred vendor through Dollar Bank, which is Pittsburgh-born institution. They're awesome. Right. We have a great partnership. We're almost like friends out there now at this point. We've been with them so long. They do 0% interest. It's called a timeline card, and they'll finance you up to $30,000. You might not need that much, but whatever you end up getting, they'll give you 12 months of no interest payments to pay it off, which is awesome. And if you carry it any longer, it's just they're going interest rate. And I can't tell you how many projects that they've facilitated for us because tree work is expensive. And then if somebody doesn't want to, if somebody doesn't want to do that route, we do an in-house financing, no interest. We try to get like half of the cost, and then we'll give you as many months as you need to pay off the balance. So give us a call. Mention that you called in on the show, and I'll make sure we take care of it for you.
Carlos, great job. The way it looks on my schedule, we'll see you on a Saturday, May 31st at noon, but you'll always be with us from time to time on Sundays, too. We appreciate you. You're a big part of the city, and you definitely practice what you preach about hard work, and you've been doing it since a teen, and you continue to do it today. We're grateful to have you in the community. Be safe out there.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
All right, there he goes. Carlos McClintock. Again, here's how you can get a hold of him. 412-884-TREE. That's 412-884-8733. And, of course, the website, Greater Pitt Tree Service, PA.com. Now, here's the way things stack up the rest of today. 10 o'clock, news with Rob, Accurate Solutions at 10. And then the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Paul Skeens, 3-4 in the year, trying to get back on the right side of things as he's getting ready to pitch in Philadelphia today at 1:35. We'll talk about Gene Lamont coming back to the Pittsburgh Pirates, the NHL, the NBA playoffs continue. And we've got the PGA at Quail Hollow to talk about and a lot of NFL news and notes as well. All today on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show on KDK. It's your Pratt Pack. Good morning.
The proceeding was paid for by Greater Pitt Tree Service. Information on the program was intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDK does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information heard on the preceding program.